Please get your Bibles and turn them to John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Just two verses for this morning's message, although we will be looking at other passages as well. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him. But ye know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. Thus far the reading of God's holy, infallible Word. Since today is what we call Pentecost Sunday, we will devote our time studying the person and work of the Holy Spirit in light of our text, John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And we want to answer this simple question, who is the Holy Spirit? And I have three answers taken from our text. Of course, you can answer that question in so many ways. But for the sake of time, let me first say that the Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity. Second, the Holy Spirit is a gift to us believers. And finally, the Holy Spirit is our Comforter. So let's look at our first point here, the Holy Spirit as a member of the Trinity. We Christians, we believe in the doctrine of the Trinity, that there is one God in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now let's read verses 16 and 17 where we meet all the three persons of the Trinity. Verse 16, and I, that is Jesus, I will pray or ask the Father. So that's God the Father. And He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. That's the Holy Spirit. So right here in our text, we see the three persons of the Trinity. And each person of the Trinity is divine. The Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. And if you recall, Jesus claims to be the truth. I am the way and the truth. And we also know that God the Father is the truth. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18 tells us that it is impossible for God to lie. Why? Because He is the Father of truth. And so here we see that the Father is God, Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. But it doesn't mean that there are three gods. There is only one God, but this God has three persons. And each person of the Trinity is distinct. That is to say, the Father is not the Son, nor is He the Holy Spirit. The Son is not the Father, nor is He the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father, nor is He the Son. Moreover, each person of the Trinity has a unique role in the work of redemption. For instance, it is the Father who gave His Son to us. And it is the Son who died on the cross, not the Father. And it is the Holy Spirit who applies the work of Christ to us. Sometimes when we pray, we confuse the three persons of the Trinity. For instance, we address our prayer to God the Father, and then as we talk to Him, in prayer, we start thanking Him for dying for us. Now, the Father did not die for us. It was the Son. You see, each person of the triune God has a unique, distinct role in the work of redemption. And I say this, that of all the three persons of the Trinity, it is probably the Holy Spirit who is the most neglected member of the Trinity. We talk about Jesus, and that's wonderful. We talk about God the Father when we pray, but how often do we talk to the Holy Spirit in our prayer? How often do we specifically address our prayer to the third person of the Trinity? Now, second observation here, the Holy Spirit is a gift to us believers. Again, look at our text, verses 16 and 17. And I will pray, says Jesus, or I will ask the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. What Jesus is saying is this. He is telling His disciples, I'm going to ask my Father to give you the Holy Spirit. And so, here we see that the three persons of the Trinity have different roles again. It is Jesus who asks. He is the asker, and it is the Father who gives. He is the giver, and the Holy Spirit is the gift given to us. And as we know, this prayer was answered when Jesus ascended into heaven. God the Father gave us the Holy Spirit, given to us as a gift. Think about that. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as a blessing. All believers have this gift. Verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him. So Jesus says, now, of course, He is addressing His disciples. I want you to realize this, that this gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is for you. It is not just for all people in this world. In fact, Jesus says, the world cannot receive Him. Now, the word world here refers to the ungodly or the wicked. The wicked cannot have the Spirit of God. They don't see Him. Neither do they know Him. They don't know Him. But Jesus says, you know Him. Now, this is fascinating, by the way. Because, let me ask you this question. Have you ever seen the Holy Spirit? Have you ever seen the Holy Spirit? Do you know the Holy Spirit? Now, boys and girls, if you were to ask me, Pastor Brian, do you know Queen Elizabeth II? My answer would be, yes, I know of her. Not, I know her. I know of her because I have not yet met her in person. I don't have that personal relationship with Queen Elizabeth. Yes, I know that she has been on the throne now for 70 years. She is also our queen here in Canada. But I don't really know her. I know of her. But Jesus says to His disciples, you know Him. You know the Holy Spirit, not you know of Him. Even if we have not yet seen Him, and of course we will never and cannot see the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit has no body, has no physical form. And yet Jesus says, you know Him. Which means that you have that personal relationship with Him because He has been given to you. And yes, the Holy Spirit has no physical form, and yet by faith we can say that we see Him. How many of us are fully aware that we have right now the presence of the Holy Spirit here in our church, even as we are gathered together, because that's the promise of God, that the Holy Spirit will dwell with us individually as believers in Christ, but also corporately as a church. Charles Spurgeon once made this remark: if we do not have the Spirit of God, it were better to shut the churches, to nail up the doors, to put a black cross on them and say, God, have mercy on us. If you ministers of the gospel have not the Spirit of God, you had better not preach, and you people had better stay at home. I think I speak not too strongly when I say that a church in the land without the Spirit of God is rather a curse than a blessing. One of the problems that we have today in the evangelical world and even Reformed community is that we do not have the Spirit of God. We do not experience His power and His presence, His unction. You have people who remain unbelievers, people who do not see the Spirit, people who do not know the Spirit, people who don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we need the Holy Spirit, without whom all our works are only worthy of condemnation, said Martin Luther. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, all that you do is worthy of condemnation of God. And so I ask you with love this morning, do you see the Holy Spirit? Do you know the Holy Spirit? Not that you know of Him, but can you say by God's grace, yes, I know Him. Because He is in my heart. He dwells with me. Now, third observation, and this is my main point here in this message. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Look at verse 14, please. Verse 14 of John chapter 14. Oh, sorry, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth. Now, interestingly, here in our passage, the Holy Spirit is referred to as another Comforter. Now, why another Comforter? Well, the expression another Comforter means another Comforter of the same kind as the first. And this expression implies that Jesus was our first Comforter, and that the Holy Spirit would be the same kind of Comforter. It's like this, boys and girls. Suppose that you lost your car. Your car was stolen. Let's say you had a Honda Odyssey, let's say 2009, and it was stolen. And thankfully, that vehicle was insured. And so the insurance would replace it. And the insurance said to you, okay, we're going to replace it. We will give you another vehicle. Another vehicle of the same kind as the first. Exactly the same, 2009 Honda Odyssey. Now that's what we have here. Remember the context. Jesus was about to ascend into heaven. And as you could imagine, upon hearing that, his disciples became worried and afraid. Remember in verse 18? Look at verse 18, please. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. You will not be alone, my disciples, because I ask my Father to give you the Holy Spirit who will take my place once I ascend into heaven. I will come to you through the Holy Spirit. I will be present with you, of course, not physically, but spiritually, through the Holy Spirit. You will not be orphans. In ESV, that's the translation that we have. Or in King James, you will not be comfortless because you will receive another comforter. Another of the same kind as the first. Same when it comes to power. Same when it comes to the work. Same. Now, when you lose your mother, and let's say your father remarries, your father cannot really say, "My child, I have brought you another mother of the same kind." There is no replacement for your mother. There is only one mother. Your mother is unique. And that's why we even refer to that mother now as a stepmom. It's not the same as the first mother. But here in our text, Jesus says, this comforter is another comforter of the same kind as the first. We are the same. What I can do to you, what I have done to you, He can also do to you. He can comfort you. He can help you. Now, in what way does the Holy Spirit comfort us? Well, in Greek, the word comforter here is parakletos. Parakletos, from which we get the term paraclete. And literally, it means one called to be beside another. It's a combination of para. Para in Greek means beside or alongside. And then kaleo means to call. So literally, paraclete or parakletos means called to one's side. So first of all, yes, the question is, how does the Holy Spirit comfort us? Answer, by His presence. He is called to be alongside us, to be with us. I remember in our first year of marriage, whenever my dear wife shared her problem with me, I would right away give my solution to her problem. When in fact, sometimes she just wanted me to listen to her. And so she would say, "Love, I just want you to listen to me. I just want you to be by my side, to hold my hand, and listen to me. I don't want to hear your solution right now." Because men, by nature, we are fixers of problems, right? When a wife says shares a problem, okay, here's the solution. When in fact your wife is not yet ready to hear that solution. She just wants you to listen to her and be with her and just hold her hand and say, "I'm so sorry to hear about your struggle." And oftentimes when I do that, so my wife will share a problem and I'll just sit right next to her and try not to say anything. Just hold her hand And afterwards, she would say, thank you for helping me. Helping you, I didn't really do anything. But for her, just being with her is already a blessing. That's what the Holy Spirit does to us. He is our paraclete, called to one side. You see, our physical presence with a hurting friend can be a great comfort in and of itself, even if we have no words to say. Now, remember Job's three friends in Job chapter 2, verses 11 and 13. There we read that his friends came to him to mourn with him and to comfort him. And then verse 13, Job chapter 2, verse 13 says, and they sat down with Job upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spoke a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. For 7 days and 7 nights, they were just with Job, saying nothing. But for Job, that was already a great blessing. In fact, it is when they started talking that they got into trouble. Because when they started talking and accusing Job, Job, you are suffering because of your sin, then Job says in Job 16, verse 2, you are miserable comforters. You are miserable comforters. You see, sometimes the best thing we can do is say nothing, but be there physically for that hurting friend of ours. Presence is already a comfort. Now, children, may I ask you, what do you do in the middle of the night when you hear a thunderstorm and lightning? Of course, you get scared, right? And you want the presence of your mom and dad. You go to their bed, right? Now, of course, your mom and dad, there's really nothing they can do. They cannot stop that thunderstorm, that lightning. But you feel comforted just being with your parents. You see, that's what we have here. The presence of the Holy Spirit is already a tremendous help to us. That's how He comforts us. And may I say this to you, as Jesus says, we are not comfortless. We are not orphans. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. God the Father gave us the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Yes, you may be a widower and a widow, alone most of the time in your room. But don't forget, you have the presence of the Holy Spirit. You see, boys and girls, you want to be around with your mom and dad, right? When there is something like that, like a thunderstorm or a lightning. But the truth is, we cannot always be with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And same, right, with our widows and widowers, it can be lonely to be alone. And you want to be around with your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. But once you go to bed, loneliness hits you suddenly when you are by yourself. And yet, what a blessing it is to know that we have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. That's why, look at verse 17, please. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. And listen now, please. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. He dwells with you. And then verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. The Holy Spirit dwells with us, abiding with us forever and ever and ever, for eternity. You cannot lose the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit when you sin, but you can never, ever lose the Holy Spirit. And that's why, for us believers, this is our assurance of salvation. We know that the Holy Spirit will never leave us nor forsake us. He dwells there forever. We have His abiding, permanent presence. Whereas our spouse cannot be our abiding comforter, permanent comforter. Our parents cannot be our abiding, permanent comforters. For they will die too someday. But the Holy Spirit cannot and will never die. He is always with us. We have His presence. But of course, the Holy Spirit is not just with us doing nothing. Yes, it is good to have His presence. That in itself is a blessing. But the Holy Spirit is also our helper. That's why if you are using the ESV version, the word comforter is translated as helper. So He comforts us by helping us. And here we have the great helper that you can ever have, the great comforter. The Holy Spirit knows how to help you. He knows what to say. Whereas sometimes we can be insensitive. Now, I remember when my wife and I had a miscarriage. So you had members from church. They meant it well. They meant it to comfort you. So sometimes they would say, "Oh, so we heard about your miscarriage. At least you are still young. At least you can still have babies. You're still young. You're only in your 30s. Insensitive. Again, they meant it well, but they didn't know how to help you. Or sometimes they would say, "Well, at least when the baby died, the baby was only 8 weeks old. It doesn't matter." But again, they didn't know how to comfort you. In their desire to comfort you, they were actually hurting you. But the Holy Spirit, as our helper, He knows exactly what you need to hear from His Word. And I don't know if you've had that experience where in your personal devotion, you are really in deep, maybe depression or grief, and you're hurting, and you read His Word, and you say, "This is just perfect for me." The Holy Spirit knows exactly what you need to hear at that particular moment. And you felt help by the blessed Holy Spirit. He is our helper. So how does He comfort us? Yeah, by His presence. But He's not just there doing nothing. He actually helps us. But He is also our advocate. He comforts us by advocating or interceding for us. Because the word paraclete is actually used to refer to a person who pleads the cause of another in a court of law. And that's why sometimes it is translated as advocate. He is our comforter. He is our helper. He is our advocate. Someone said, in ancient world, the paracletes or the advocates stood by their friends in the court, giving them advice and speaking in their behalf when it was necessary. So it's like your lawyer. He is the one speaking on your behalf. When you are dealing with a legal issue and you're not knowledgeable about all the laws, regulations, you don't know what to say. You cannot defend yourself. You need an advocate. You need someone to intercede on your behalf. And that's our Holy Spirit. And that's what He does. When we do not know what to say to God the Father when we pray, when we are so down, so discouraged, so overwhelmed with our burden, so burdened with our load of care that you don't even know what to say to God in your prayer. In fact, you don't even know how to pray. That's when the Paraclete, that's when the Holy Spirit comes to help us. And that's why we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. You will have this moment in your Christian life where you simply don't know what to say in your prayer. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Yesterday, Pastor Scott Dibbitt and I, we spoke at the retreat, Heritage Spring Retreat, and he shared this story. You see, Scott Dibbitt and I went to Grand Rapids, Michigan at the same time, same year, 2006. We studied at PRTS. We were classmates. And when they came to Puritan Reform Seminar in Grand Rapids in 2006, they already had five kids, healthy kids, healthy babies, healthy children, and they were hoping to have more kids. His wife got pregnant, but had a miscarriage. Got pregnant again, had a miscarriage again. They had in total four miscarriages. It was hard. And when they saw their doctor, who happened to be a Christian, the doctor said to them, "You're probably not yet ready to hear Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. You're hurting. Maybe you need to hear first verse 26 before verse 28. Because verse 26 says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. When we do not know what to say in our prayer, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. The Holy Spirit Himself gives us words to say in our prayer. When I had the accident years ago in 2017, actually one of the witnesses or one of the rescuers, he said to me later, "I have witnessed an accident like this. Usually drivers don't make it. You're alive." I said, "The Lord spared my life. But I suffered from concussion. I could not preach for probably at least 2 months. It was just hard. And as you could imagine, I could not really help my wife in our in daily work at home. And my wife, one night, it was not really a prayer. It was just a sigh. She just said, "Oh, I wish someone would bring us a meal. It would be nice if someone could make a meal for us." Now, that night, one of our members, his name was Dunverdine. I actually called him Mr. Dunverdine because he was in his 90s. He is now with the Lord. He died. I also did his funeral. He was praying to the Lord that night when my wife had that sigh, wishing that someone would bring a meal to us. According to Dunverdine, because later on when I got better, he was the very first one that I visited because he was one of our neighbors. He said to me, "Pastor, I prayed to God because I felt so useless." Because he used to be an elder, but maybe many of you, as you get older, sometimes you feel like useless, that God is not using you anymore. You used to be maybe actively serving the Lord, leading a Bible study, maybe as an elder, visiting, but now you're so weak that there's really nothing you can do now, and you feel bad, you feel useless. And so he prayed to the Lord, "Lord, I want to be useful." And for some reason, God pressed upon his heart our need. And he said, "Aha, I'm going to make meatballs." He's known for his meatballs. "I'm going to make meatballs for the Nadja Force." And so the following day, he made meatballs and brought that meal to us. And it was amazing because that was the same night that my wife, it was not really a prayer because she was so just discouraged. And yet the Holy Spirit gave her that sigh, that groaning, which almost like cannot be uttered. "If only someone would bring me a meal." The Lord answered that prayer. And the Lord answered to the prayer of Mr. Verdine. And there you see how the Holy Spirit works. You see, we have the Holy Spirit helping us. And what a gift He is to us. And even in our text, Jesus adds this in verse 26, John chapter 14, verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance." Now, we are forgetful by nature. Maybe 2 weeks from now, you will forget this message. But who enables you to remember the Word of God, the teaching of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, He brings all things to our remembrance, and He is the one teaching us. That's why, really, in my prayer, whenever I preach, I ask the Holy Spirit, "Lord, please help me, be my teacher, be our speaker, because you don't want Pastor Brian to preach. You don't want me to teach the Word of God to you. You want the Holy Spirit. You want Him to teach you. He is the best preacher, the best teacher." And of course, He uses an instrument, a weak vessel like me, to accomplish that ministry. But we want the Holy Spirit to teach us. And that ought to be our prayer before we even start our service. When we do our silent, most of the time, of course, you don't hear me when I pray. Sometimes I would say, "Lord, I would rather die here right now than go up here and stand behind this pulpit without the presence of the Holy Spirit. Please, blessed Holy Spirit, let's go together. Come with me, because I cannot do this. I cannot preach your word. I'm so weak. I need you." Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit even as you listen to His Word. And let me add this too. In Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now listen now, please. If you know that you are a child of God, if you are able to address God as your Father without any slight of hesitation, it is because the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's really hard to explain. That I know that if you are going to ask me, Pastor Brian, how do you know that you are a child of God? Of course, you see the marks of grace. I can say I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can see by His grace the marks of grace. But deep within me, I know it because the Spirit Himself testifies to my spirit. It's almost like telling my spirit, Spirit, you are a child of God. And the Holy Spirit Himself dwells with me. I have the Holy Spirit. And if you are a child of God, you also have the Holy Spirit. And we need to be aware of that. You know, and I will end with this. Someone said, do you know, this was said years ago, do you know what's the most wasted energy on earth? And the person, they were actually visiting Canada. They were standing in front of Niagara Falls. Do you know what's the most neglected or wasted energy? And the guy said, no, I don't. The Niagara Falls. We're wasting that energy from Niagara Falls. And the guy, when he heard that, he's a Christian. He said, no. That's not the most wasted energy. The most wasted energy is the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. We have His presence. We have His power. But we're not using that power. We're not using it. Are you using the power of the Holy Spirit given to you as a gift from God? Are you using it for your sanctification? Are you using it when you sing? Do you sing in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you pray in the strength of the Holy Spirit? I ask myself, am I preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you are an unbeliever this morning, Jesus says, you cannot receive the Spirit, you cannot see the Spirit, you cannot know the Spirit. You need to first believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is through Christ that God gives His Spirit to us. Apart from Christ, you cannot possess the gift of the Spirit. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You so much for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, help us to be fully aware of His ministry among us. Our blessed Holy Spirit, we ask for forgiveness for grieving You in so many ways, neglecting You in our Christian life. Oh, may we indeed use You, take advantage of Your presence in us, and use that power that You are giving to us. Use it to glorify You and serve You with all our heart, mind, and soul. Bless Your word. Apply it to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.